Good morning, family. It's such a joy this morning to greet you again and for the opportunity I have of coming into your living room and sharing the Word of God to all of you as a family, as you sit around the table, as you sit in your lounges, wanting to draw life from the Word, treasure from the Word, direction from the Word, and of course, the anointing from the Word. We are dealing with the Holy Spirit, and it is essential that we keep this in the fore of our minds, that we have to be led by the Holy Spirit if we are convinced that we are sons of God. All sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. Number two, you've got to know who He is in order to have Him lead you in your life, in your life's assignments, and of course, in your prophetic journey towards the finish, both individually and us corporately. Beloved, I know that you all are looking forward to come together again as the corporate family. Yes, we will get direction on that. But until then, we will endeavor to meet in our small groups. I'm certain that you are reading your Bible, you are studying the Word of God, you are praying daily, breaking bread, and of course, keeping in touch with one another, investing in one another, caring for one another until this trying time is over. As far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, we have already covered who He is, His personality, and that He's part of the Godhead, and along the various teachings concerning Him, His leading, His ministry in our lives and in the earth, there'll always be an overlap of some information, but do bear with that because that will further cement or solidify the knowledge of Him and His work in our homes, in our lives, and in our corporate family. The grand narrative is the prophetic journey towards the finish. We've already covered how important wisdom is. We've covered how important for us to employ wisdom in our journey so that we make the right decisions in our application of wisdom. We need the Holy Spirit. And of course, there's going to be other aspects within our journey. According to the prophetic word released by Prophet Sean Blicknott, we are extracting some of the key points and further elaborating on them so that they will become clearer in our minds, and it gives us direction of how to stay together, flow together, and enter our promised land together as a family. So let us this morning just begin to pray. I've extracted and I've put together 60 days of prayers concerning how to be led by the Holy Spirit in diverse or various administrations within our lives. So today I want to pray day one before we get into the teaching. And this prayer is about led to receive the relationship with God you've always needed. The Holy Spirit leads us to receive the relationship with God that we always needed. The verse of scripture we are using for our prayer this morning is Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Let's pray. Lord, help me to know you more. Enable me to fully understand my relationship with you through Jesus, your Son. Help me, Jesus, to comprehend all you accomplish for me on the cross. Thank you for your suffering and death, which have saved me from the consequences of my own wrong thoughts and actions. I am eternally grateful that after you were crucified, you rose from the dead to prove that you are who you say you are, and that your words and promises are without fail. I declare that you are Lord over my every aspect, or rather every aspect of my life. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins, giving me a new beginning and the promise of eternity with you. Amen. Amen. So let's go to this morning's teaching. And I want to read 1 John 4:13, 1 John 4:13, and Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Let's read 1 John 4:13, reading from the New King James Version. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His, capital S-P-I-R-I-T, Spirit. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us of His Spirit. By Him giving us of His Spirit, it confirms that we abide in Him, and that He loves to abide in us. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, but as for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Let me read that again. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. True sons of God are led by the Spirit of God. The word led means that He becomes prominent, He becomes the dominant factor, He becomes the driver. We are led, we are passengers driven by Him, and we don't defy Him, we don't revolt, we're not feisty, we're not arrogant, we're not indifferent, we're not insolent. All we are is submissive to Him as sons of God. So true sons of God submit themselves fully in every sphere, aspect, and compartment of their lives. They are led by the Spirit of God. So, beloved, the subject today is dealing with the person of the Holy Spirit. And of course, we are going to look at how the Holy Spirit leads the believer. Again, how the Holy Spirit leads the believer. We are led by the Holy Spirit as sons of God. The word sons here refers to full-grown, mature children of the Lord who are able to take on responsibilities with confidence and faithfully and loyally handle them. That's very important. Take up responsibilities with confidence. In other words, there are so many responsibilities within the jurisdiction of God's business: winning of souls, maturing the saints, influencing our environments, impacting and reflecting the glory of the Lord. In all of these different parts of our living as sons of God, we've got to live with confidence and then administer the things of God with a spirit of faithfulness and loyalty. This is very important. The injunction is that part of maturity, which is to know the Holy Spirit enough to be led by Him. God wants every one of His children to get to that stage of maturity where they personally are able to follow the Holy Spirit's guidance without too much dependence on prophets and pastors or any other mature believer, without an over-dependence on circumstances, etc. It is one thing coming to the pastor and asking, where do you think I will fit in best? And completely another thing coming and saying, the Holy Spirit told me to get involved here or there. These two approaches show the difference between mature believers and immature believers. Every believer must watch out for appointing himself into a place of authority as an excuse. Note, as an excuse for the leading of the Holy Spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit leads into authority. He does not push you and I into authority. You do not have to help the Holy Spirit. He knows how to place every believer into the right place at the right time. And he is never rushed. Do not run ahead. Follow. Be led by him. The principle of the kingdom of God is that God exalts those who humble themselves as servants of the king and his people. Listen, beloved, he is capable. He is reliable. He knows more than us. He is all-knowing. So he will do a better job than you and I. So build a relationship with him. Get to know who he is. In order to be effectively led by his divine leading. Don't be anxious. Don't be ambitious. Ambition will always allow you to override the dictates of the Holy Spirit. Impatience will also allow you to go outside your time and outside the help and guidance of the Holy Spirit and do your thing. It'll bring you crushing down. Ambition will bring you crushing down. Indifference will bring you crushing down. Impatience will bring you crushing down. Covetousness will bring you crushing down. So be led by the Holy Spirit. Do you know when you're led by the Holy Spirit, there's no competition. You're not competing with anyone. You're not trying to be covetous of other people's grace and achievements. God has cut a track, racing track out for you, a running track for you. You run your race with patience, relying upon him, and you will get to the finish. Amen. There was a time when I was so concerned, much younger in the ministry, wanted to do everything, wanted to travel to every nation, wanted to be in the limelight, wanted to be in the front row, wanted to do all these things. But at the end, I realized when God touched my life and showed me my insecurities, he showed me that if I rely on the Holy Spirit, and rely on his dictates, and rely on him revealing things to me, well, I don't have to stress out about other people's races, other people's life's journey. All I need to do is be confident and administer with responsibility, with faithfulness, with loyalty, that which he has given me. For the rest of my life as a pastor, I could just be someone who is called to sit in a room and pray for all other pastors. Well, I can do that. Or just teach a group of people for the rest of my life principles of the Word of God. I can do that. I don't need to compete with anyone else or covet positions that would be sinful, wicked, and outside God's instruction and God's working. So, beloved, so much for self-appointed. Now, 1 Corinthians 2:11, the spirit of man within him. In other words, the spirit of a man is within man. Man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. But the spirit of the man is within him. Man is a three-part being, just like God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Together these three make up one. Man's spirit, man's soul, and man's body makes up one, and that is called man. So with the spirit, man communicates with God, who is a spirit. With the soul, man communicates emotionally and intellectually. And with the body, man communicates physically with the physical world in which he lives. At the fall of the spirit of man, the spirit of man was cut off from the spirit of God. You all know that. But at the new birth, man became one spirit with the Lord yet again. So the spirit is the link to God. The spirit of man and the spirit of God links up together. There's a connection between the spirit world of a man and the spirit portion of God. She's the spirit of God, the inner depth of God. Amen. Amen. The spirit links man to God. Spirit, soul, and body. Being being cut off from God means that spirit is cut from spirit. To be spiritually cut off includes the soul and the body. So when man is joined to the Lord, the soul and the body is joined via the spirit of man. Beautiful. So the spirit of man is where God makes connection and communicates with man. This is what makes it so difficult to be led by the spirit. Mankind as a whole is spiritually dead. There is no connection between God and man. The new birth reconnects God and man, and just like a baby cannot distinguish the words its mother speaks to it, so the newborn believer often finds it difficult to distinguish what God is saying. So in other words, what we have to do is develop spiritual awareness. Recognize that there is a spirit man of the heart and begin to be conscious of contact with the living God. Realize that the new creature is alive to God and dead to sin. This is how man becomes God conscious. So he moves away from man conscious and becomes God conscious because of the connection between the spirit of a man and the spirit of God. In Romans 8:16, the spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Hallelujah. The spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So who confirms that you are a child of God? The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. In Proverbs 20 verse 27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The spirit of man is the lamp of God. So God uses the spirit of a man, a component built in the structure and the crafting of man. Remember, man is made up of body, soul, and spirit. So God would use the spirit of a man as his lamp. It seems like the spirit of a man was constructed or manufactured and laid within a man to serve the purpose of God. So when he calls upon the spirit of man, he has the right to use the spirit of man as the lamp of the Lord. And he can search the inner depths of that man's heart through the spirit of the man being the lamp of God. So the spirit of man is where God enlightens or guides or inspires man. Those who are born of God can expect this enlightenment and direction. In 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 and 10, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, which means the capital letter, S-P-I-R-I-T, the Holy Spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. So if he's going to lead us, he's going to lead us to the heart of Abba Father. He's been placed, he's been called, he's been sent by Jesus into the earth to empower the sons of God to have a connection with the heart of the Father. Oh, that's beautiful. So I'm not alone in my decision making, in my drive in life, in my direction in life, in my decision making in life. I have him to guide me. And so my heart is connected to the heart of the Father, and the deep things in the heart of the Father for me, my wife, my marriage, my children, the ministry that I administer for him, I can get all of that, the latest from the heart of the Father, from the heart of the Father. And who brings that to me? The Holy Spirit. Come on, you've got to get to know him, beloved. You've got to get to know him. Don't be reckless. Don't be careless. Don't be silly, if I have to use such a word. Be connected. Be intentional. Have a posture in the Spirit that allows you to be connected to the heart of the Father. Because the treasure in the heart of the Father is powerful. There's no price you can pay for that. Yet you have access to that because of the relationship you build with the Holy Spirit. If we do not develop sensitivity of the Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to touch our hearts with revelation, we will be so impoverished. All we have then is human logic and wisdom, which is limited to human experience. Listen, beloved, human logic and human wisdom is dangerous. And you can read about this in the Word of God. It'll bring you to a place of spiritual bankruptcy. It'll bring you to a place where you will not have the influence, the impact, and the input of God the Father, because you will have no access to his heart when you rely heavily on human logic and wisdom and human experience. In 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Come on, there are so many things freely given to us by God, but it's lying in a spiritual warehouse. You got to know how to go and access. It's all waiting there. You have not claimed all your riches, all the resources, all the things God has prepared for you. He's lying in those warehouses. He's lying in those vaults. You got to learn how to get them out by first developing a relationship with the Holy Spirit, learning how to be led by the Holy Spirit. Listen, friend, it is all the instruction on how to be led by the Spirit is in the Word of God. Come on. If you have no relationship with the Word of God, if you don't have a desire and an appetite to open the Word of God, you are not going to know who the Holy Spirit is and how to relate to Him and how to access all those things freely given to us by God. Let me read that again. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world takes from us. It depletes our resources. It drains us. It abuses us. It uses us. This is the spirit of the world. It misleads us, misguides us. The spirit of the world deceives us. Come on. That's what it is meant for. But, say but, the spirit, capital letter, the Holy Spirit, who is from God, not from the world, from God. He comes from above. That is his habitat. And that's why he's so acquainted with the heart of the Father. And he takes our requests. He takes what we need, and goes to the Father, implores the Father, and he brings back solutions. He brings back resources. He brings back stuff to us. And we thank God that we have the blessed Holy Spirit. Jesus said, it is important that I go away. But if I go away, I will send you the Holy Spirit. I thank God for the Holy Spirit. Listen, that we might know the things that we might know through the Holy Spirit. We might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Do you know? Just pause for a moment. Take a page and write. Do you know what you have that has been freely given to you by God? Ivan, God has given you certain things freely. Where is it? Is it installed in your living? Or is it lying somewhere for you to still get those things out? Come on. The human intellect was not designed to depend on itself for guidance. It was designed as an input-output center to depend on the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of man. When the mind relinquishes control to the Spirit, there is rest. You see, when the mind, the spiritual mind, is influenced by the Holy Spirit, come on, you would be at rest. Nothing affects you because you're a passenger being driven by God. You jump in. Oh, he comes to your service. Hallelujah. He's like a spiritual taxi that comes and he transports you. He drives you. He leads you. And you are the passenger. You are led. You are driven. Come on. Oh my God. Thank you for that privilege. You are the greatest, the most reliable. God does not guide man by his senses or body, nor does he guide man by feelings. Listen, the spirit of a man is the lamp of God. So when we seek guidance by any other means, it normally leads to trouble, to confusion, to upheaval. Say this after me. Not by logic, nor by senses. Say it again. Not by logic, nor by senses, but by the Spirit of God. By the Spirit of God. You know, so many set their direction by the pressure that the world around them dictates. There's circumstantial pressure. There is peer pressure. There's adversity pressure. These things set the course of many believers' lives. They cannot do well and prosper because they are born poor. So many settle for the worst because there is no way we can have the best because of culture, social standing, or race, or so many other factors. Others say that they have no qualifications, and or that their employers do not favor them, or that their health is against them. There's so many factors of life that pressurizes an individual. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit and not by pressure. Say that again. We are to be led by the Holy Spirit and not by pressure. We are led by the Holy Spirit and not by pressure. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The New International Version. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. The body and the soul are dependent on the Spirit for life and sustenance. The body and the soul are dependent on the Spirit for life and sustenance. If the Spirit within a man is disconnected from the Spirit of God, the body and soul goes into shock, disorientated, sick, depressed, loss of direction, no power. And that's why the body and soul then gets beaten up. Why? Because the spirit of a man failed to connect with the Spirit of God by first having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Pay attention to the spirit man. In this world, so much attention is given to the body and the soul, where some satisfy the physical craving, whereas others develop intellectually through learning and study. The spiritual or the spiritually depleted man is the reason for so much human suffering and misery. If we are going to be led by the Spirit, we are going to become aware of the hidden inner man of the heart. We are going to have to become aware that we are spiritual beings. Spoil and pamper the inner man, not the body. Feed and fill the inner man, not the body. Exercise and develop the inner man. This is what Romans 8, 5 and 6 says. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mindset on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Holy Spirit is life. In the same way that man heals to the appetites of the body, so he ought to heal to the appetites of the Spirit. The Bible talks about the spirit and the soul. And let's look what's the difference in Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. The word of God differentiates between spirit and soul. So if you don't know the word of God, you won't have the ability to differentiate between spirit and soul. The word of God is needed for this differentiation. To understand the leading of the Holy Spirit, it is essential that we understand the difference. Until recently, it was thought that they were both the same. To distinguish the two, we need to delve deeply into the Word of God. So where's the starting point, beloved, for you and I? The Word of God. Get into the Word of God. Pray the Word of God. Meditate on the Word of God. Rely on the Word of God. Discuss the Word of God. Interact with the Word of God. Call the Word into your situation. And then release the Word over environments, over situations, over adversities, over problems, and over things that are opposing you. Come on. You release the Word. It silences the voice of those that turn against you. You may be going through a tough time right now. People are against you. Well, rely on the Holy Spirit. He can take care of your enemies. He can take care of those that affect you negatively. You may be in a toxic marriage. Well, don't know which way to turn to. Don't take the law into your own hands. Rely upon the Holy Spirit to change your situation, to bring relief to you, to give you rest, to give you a good night's rest. You know, if you know, like a child that knows that it's not his responsibility or her responsibility to lock the windows, to lock the doors, to put the alarm on, he relies upon his parents. I want you to rely upon the Holy Spirit to lead you in issues of life, decisions of life. Allow him to lead you. Allow him to lead you. And when you do that, you will have great success. You will have victory. Amen. The Word of God puts spirit and soul into their correct place and order. Without the Word, the soul dominates. Do you want the soul to dominate you? Do you want to always be at a place of misery? Your emotions are dictating to you. Your life situations are dictating to you. Always sensitive. Always suspicious. That's how the soul relates. But the spirit of a man is the lamp of God. And today, God's spirit wants to connect with your spirit so that he could lead you into all truth. 1 Corinthians 14:14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. The Amplified says that the mind is unproductive. So, when you pray in a tongue, your spirit prays. Your spirit is alive. So, more of you speaking in supernatural or divine language of tongues, you will fill the spirit within you, the spirit man within you. Okay? The soul or the intellect is bypassed while the innermost being is praying in other tongues. Let's turn to John 7, verse 37 and 38. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if any man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his inmost being shall flow rivers of living water. That's it, beloved. Rivers of living water. Do you know what living water is? We'll come to that. But this he spoke of the Spirit whom those who believed in him were to receive. So when he's speaking about living waters, he's referring to the Holy Spirit. This literally means effervescent, bubbling water, which comes from deep within, from the spirit of man. So how do we activate this? The spirit of man. Tongues activate the spirit of man. Whatever activity is taking place inside, be sure it is in your spirit that it is taking place. Not in your soul, not in your body, not in your mind. Let the lamp of God be activated. Let the lights come on in the spirit of a man. Praying in tongues develops spiritual sensitivity. Inspiration comes. Things will begin to take shape and form apart from the mentality. Confidence and direction will well up. Streams will flow in dry places. Isn't that wonderful? Wonderful. James 1:21. In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. The spirit is reborn. The soul is renewed. The body is resurrected. If the word of God is not perceived spiritually, then it will be lifeless and meaningless to the soul. The word of God cannot be understood or grasped by the mind, by the will or emotions. It must be understood by the spirit of man. We don't want intellectual believers in the sense that we work things out from a mindset of view or from a soul point of view. We want spiritual believers. We want those that rely on the Spirit. Man, I tell you something. We want to develop everyone in our household of faith as spiritual beings, spiritual living beings. Life is oozing from us. We are able to impact. The sphere around us is magnetic, is charged with life, with authority, with power. And this is how we ought to live our lives. Amen. Amen. And so James is saying to us, in humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. The word implanted. The word cannot be somewhere out there on a shelf, cannot just be at the pulpit. It has to be implanted into the heart of the believer. Hallelujah. The word of God must be implanted. It ignites the spirit of a man. The lamp comes on and we could see everything that is wrong in our lives and put right, eliminate stuff that is evil and introduce into our lives the workings of the Holy Spirit or the leading of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 12:2, be transformed by the renewing of your minds. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4 and 5, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Mighty by pulling down the strongholds. Mighty in God. Mighty in God. By pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations, casting down every high thought, captivating thoughts, bringing thoughts into captivity. This is not an instant formula, since it takes time to break down old thinking and build new thought patterns. An unrenewed mind can hinder the reborn spirit from growing to its full potential and aspiration. Listen, say this after me. A renewed mind transforms the believer. A renewed mind transforms the believer. So let's go on and bring to conclusion this teaching, first part of this teaching on how to be led by the Holy Spirit. In conclusion, Romans 12 verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The spirit man presents his body for God's use. The spirit man, the man that is spiritual, full of the Holy Ghost, led by the Holy Ghost, guided by the Holy Ghost, has a meaningful relationship with the Holy Ghost, substantially is filled with the power and the might of the Holy Spirit, that person will present his body for God's use. How many of you today are holding on to your own body and not presenting your body for the Master's use? How many of you are led by the Holy Spirit? How many in this corporate gathering today have had a relationship with the Holy Spirit, are being led by the Holy Spirit? Your decisions are being influenced by the Holy Spirit. Please, beloved, let's start today. Let's start today. Let's start today presenting your bodies to God as a spirit man. Don't present your bodies as a reckless man, as a dualistic allegiance, a man with dualistic allegiance, a man that is reckless, careless, and a man that doesn't care. When I talk about man, I'm talking about every single one of us. But present your bodies for the God's use. Why won't you do something for the kingdom of God today? The Holy Spirit will empower you. And that's why the earth is in a state that is sad, because sons of God are not presenting their bodies for God's use. And the world needs sons of God to become actively involved as laborers in the work of God. The human body is God's only means of expression in the natural world. It is his vehicle. We should let God take the steering wheel of our bodies so that our bodies can take God where he wants to go. Make your body available as God's earthen vessel to contain his heavenly treasure. I want to stop right there with this challenge. Come on, every mom, dad, young person, are you doing something for the kingdom of God? Or are you just a passenger? Someone that is not grateful, I put it that way, for what he's doing in your life. Are you just a spectator, or are you involved in pushing the purpose of God forward? That's why the Holy Spirit would lead you and I. He's been sent by Jesus to represent him in your life so that you could be empowered to complete the work of Jesus post the cross, post the resurrection in the earth, and bring back the creation to where God intends for it to be. I bless you today. Listen to this message again. We will continue to build upon this so that you will learn how to be led by the Spirit of God. God bless you richly. Enjoy the rest of your day.